Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Bichette. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love, in Aramaic, Brachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mind Shifters Radio.
Hello and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio. I'm Tim Hayes. I'm your host for the first hour. Today is Friday, April 16th, 2021. As always, we're grateful to everyone who's joining us here today, whether you're listening live or listening through the archives, as we spend another couple of hours teaching and supporting people in using some of the most powerful, effective, efficient, and accessible tools I've ever encountered. These tools are available absolutely free at whyagain.org. If you go to that website and click on the red and white bullseye or the link in the upper left-hand corner of most pages, it says Start Here. It will take you to a page where you can download and read Chapter 24 of Dr. Michael Rice's book. Why is this happening to me again? And the chapter of that book, the 24th chapter, is a narrative description of the primary tool in this work. That tool is called the Reality Management Worksheet, sometimes called the Reality Management Wake-Up Sheet. And it's a tool I've been using to great effect for the past 16-plus years to manage my emotions, improve my relationships, and turn any negative emotional state I experience into part of that infallible guidance system that each of us is gifted with. You can also download the actual worksheet itself. It's a simple click, download the PDF file, print it off, and use it as often as you'd like. You can also go to your app store and type in the three words, Heartland Aramaic Forgiveness. And by the time you're done typing the word forgiveness, you'll see the glowing heart icon. And when you click on that, it will let you download a completely free and private app that contains the Reality Management Worksheet, an abbreviated version of that process, and a copy of the Dragon-Klingon game, which is a wonderful way to introduce these tools to even younger audiences. You can also download a whole host of audio files of shows like this one that contain discussions of this process, actual audio files of people calling in to go step through that process, and those audio files can serve as a tutorial. And when you do that, you might raise questions or comments. We hope people do that soon and often. We have had such good experience with these tools that the benefits to our life is something that we want to share. And so that's why we do the radio show in its current version, 5 days a week, 2 hours a day. And it's possible for people to access it live or through the archives. If you have a question and you're listening through the archive and you would like to have us address that question and you can't tune in during the live show hours, simply shoot Jeannie an email at jeannie@whyagain.org. Or send me an email at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And we will do our best to address your question during the show, and then it'll be available for you to listen to in the replay of the archives. We have made the commitment to go through the Course in Miracles lessons this year, and today is the 106th day of the year, being that it's Friday, April 6th. 2021. And that lesson from the Course in Miracles workbook reads, Let me be still and listen to the truth. The commentary reads, if you will lay aside the ego's voice, however loudly it may seem to call, if you will not accept its petty gifts that give you nothing that you really want, if you will listen with an open mind that has not told you what salvation is, then you will hear the mighty voice of truth, quiet in power, strong in stillness, and completely certain in its messages. Listen and hear your Father speak to you through his appointed voice, which silences the thunder of the meaningless and shows the way to peace to those who cannot see. Be still today and listen to the truth. Be not deceived by voices of the dead, which tell you they have found the source of life and offer it to you for your belief. Attend to them not, but listen to the truth. Be not afraid today to circumvent the voices of the world. Walk lightly past their meaningless persuasion. Hear them not. Be still today and listen to the truth. Go past all things which do not speak of him who holds your happiness within his hand, held out to you in welcome and in love. Hear only the Creator today, and do not wait to reach him any longer. Hear one true voice today. Today the promise of the Creator's word is kept. Hear it and be silent. The Creator would speak to you. The Creator comes with miracles 1,000 times as happy and as wonderful as those you ever dreamed or wished for in your dreams. The Creator's miracles are true. They will not fade when dreaming ends. They end the dream instead, and they last forever, for they come from the Creator to the Creator's offspring, who is none other than you. Prepare yourself for miracles today. Today allow your Creator's ancient pledge to you and all your brothers and sisters to be kept. Hear the Creator today and listen to the word, which lifts the veil that lies upon the earth and wakes all those who sleep and cannot see. The Creator calls to them through you. The Creator needs your voice to speak to them. For who could reach the creation's offspring except the Creator through your true self? Hear the creation today and offer the creation your voice to speak to all the multitude who wait to hear the true word that creation will speak today. Be ready for salvation. It is here, and it will today be given unto you. And you will learn your function from the one who chose it in creation's name for you. Listen today, and you will hear a voice which will resound throughout the world through you. The bringer of all miracles has need that you receive them first, and thus become the joyous giver of what you have received. Thus does salvation start, and thus does it end. When everything is yours, and everything is given away, it will remain with you forever. And the lesson has been learned. Today we practice giving, not the way you understand it now, but as it truly is. Each hour's exercises should begin with this request for your enlightenment. I will be still and listen to the truth. What does it mean to give and to receive? And then expect an answer. Your request is one whose answer has been waiting a long time to be received by you. It will begin the ministry for which you came here and which will free the world from thinking that giving is a way to lose. And so the world becomes ready to understand and to receive. Be still and listen to the truth today. For each of the 5 minutes spent in listening, 1,000 minds are opened to the truth, and they will hear the holy word that you hear. And when the hour is past, you will again release 1,000 more who pause to ask that truth be given to them, along with you. Today, the holy word of a creator is kept through your receiving it and giving it away, so you can teach the world that giving means by listening and learning it of the creator. Do not forget today to reinforce your choice to hear and to receive the truth of the word by this reminder. Give this to yourself as often as possible today. Let me be still and listen to the truth. I am the messenger of creation today. My voice is its voice, to give what I receive. So that's the lesson and commentary today from the Course in Miracles workbook and the Pam Grout book, Course in Miracles Experiment. Lesson 106 says, silence the thunder of the meaningless. She quotes Josh Radner as saying, I know a lot of miserable Academy Award winners. Pam writes, the ego offers an unrelenting litany of unconscious, unexamined assumptions. Things like be more, do more, get more. And lesson 106 says, don't accept the ego's petty gifts. Don't buy its shallow notions of happiness. For some 20 years, Nipun Mitha has proven this lesson's maxim, that it's impossible to give without also receiving. He has defied every cultural norm. Instead of accumulating, he gives. Instead of fearing, he trusts. Instead of achieving more, 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 he seeks out connection, brotherhood, generosity. It's a much lighter way to be, says the former Silicon Valley engineer, software engineer, who started Service Space in 1999. Quote, we were a bunch of 20-somethings who just wanted to give, close quotes. Starting with small experiments in generosity, they eventually created a free restaurant, Karma Kitchen, an active online organization that encourages small acts of kindness. That's called KindSpring. And laddership circles that create transformational economies based on the spirit of gift. To this day, even though their awaken circles have spread to living rooms across the globe, they refuse to monetize. Rather than live in the accepted culture of scarcity and fear, Nipun, his family, and friends have created a strong cocoon of generosity. We've created a deep connection and a collective energy. Even when the giving act is entirely invisible, an unmistakable transformation takes place, he says. It's always unclear who is the biggest beneficiary. So today, take it from Nipun. Be still, listen for truth. It's your pilot light, and it will change everything. So for 5 minutes every hour, try to remember, let me be still and listen to the truth. So our call-in number is 563-999-3581. And I just looked up from my book to see that Jeannie's in the chat room. Yes, things have changed. So I'm here for today. I'll save the replay for another time, unless somebody chimes in real fast and says, oh, I wanted to hear the interview with Laura McGowan. But as often happens in life, everything is in flux. So we are here to discuss whatever people need to discuss or to support people in any way we can. I was doing a few rounds of EFT tapping before this internet show started in conjunction with somebody that I had on a video session earlier today. And last night in our support group, we did a round of EFT tapping about head pain for one of our members. And so I just thought I would mention there's a lot of really good stuff out there about the EFT tapping. EFT stands for the Emotional Freedom Technique. And these days, it's more commonly just the three letters, EFT. And people assign different meanings to it. The creator put it out there in the open domain world. His name is Gary Craig, and his website is emofree.com, emofree.com. And you can get a lot of really good stuff there. You can also go on YouTube and tap along with people like Brad Yates, absolutely free. There are a number of people who have downloaded the Tapping Solution app and use it. And so let us know, what's on your mind? How can we support you today? Who needs somebody to tap along with them? Who needs an explanation of what the tapping material is? The way I talk to people about it is to say it's a way to give yourself an acupressure treatment for anything that bothers you physically, mentally, or emotionally. And many people find it advantageous for the physical aches and pains as well as the emotional upsets. Right in line with what Dr. John Sarno recognized when he coined the term tension myoneural syndrome, the way we hold mental, emotional energy in our bodies often causes muscles to constrict or spasm. And when they do that, they can cut off the blood flow to tissue. And as little as a 10% decrease in oxygen flow, which is only supplied through the blood, is enough to initiate excruciating pain in tissue. And so if that's true for muscle spasms and NFL players who are incapacitated by a leg cramp, imagine how it might be playing a role in your neck pain or back pain or knee pain. Because a number of people, and I mean probably into the hundreds now, that I have personally worked with have found significant relief from physical discomfort by using EFT tapping. And so it's not just for anxiety or anger or fear or hurt or confusion. It's also an invaluable tool for muscle aches and pains. So 563-999-3581. Give us a call. Press 1 and let us know what's on your mind. What's something we can support you with, either in exploring a question you have or having you suggest a topic for us to explore. I have a number of people who are struggling with all of the various comments they read in social media. I just had one person I follow. It might even be the woman whose interview I was considering playing today, Laura McGowan. She wrote a blog post about leaving the bouncy house of social media. She's been struggling hard with social media. She's been using it since 2007, and even earlier if you count MySpace and Friendster. And it is, it's a trap for a lot of people. And I have a number of people that I, whether it's my family members that are on Facebook, that I have it tagged so that when they post something, I'll get an email or a notification. And that's essentially the only way I go on. And then I just flip a little bit, and it just amazes me how people will argue with others. Sometimes they know them, sometimes they don't know them, on that media. And again, that we're not talking about civil debate. We're talking about just naysaying and arguing. And one can imply from the words that both sides of the coin are feeling tension and negative emotions, especially when you get to name calling and swearing. And what we want to promote in this work is just what yesterday's lesson and today's lesson in Course in Miracles bring to us, which is the Creator has set this up so that your gifts, the gifts constantly being given to you, are joy and peace. And if you're experiencing anything other than that, the message is that's coming from a distorted belief system. That's coming from an unhealthy, conditioned system, whether it's from your family of origin or your culture. And it's entirely possible to get quiet and look underneath that and see something far more joyful and peaceful that is your core, that is the source of what gives rise to your existence and your ability to have awareness. And if you need any kind of support in getting there, Michael and Jeannie make these tools available. The Reality Management Worksheet, as I was mentioning the other day, the Three Early Memories of Conflict, the Mind Goal Management Sheet that has me manage my stressors by only framing goals that I might want to evaluate overnight, and then in the morning only setting those goals that I can accomplish during that waking period, and making sure before I set those goals that I framed them either that morning or the night before, and made sure that they were in alignment with my values, my priorities, my hopes for relationship, my best interests and the best interests of everyone around me. The Reality Management Worksheet, the Responsibility Communication Worksheet, the Commitment. I gave another copy of that away, two copies to different patients this week. And one again last Friday, I sent it to somebody that was that they were having a clash and a conflict in their relationship over a set of issues that I absolutely know that a month or so from now, if they look back on it, they would laugh at how ridiculous it was to be that upset over this little thing. And so it prompted me to pull out the commitment, because in the commitment it says, my relationship with you, my connection to my source, and our serenity will always be more important than any issue. And so many times when the pressure of the moment and the complications of life and the conditioning of the culture about needing to be right, we were talking about that the other day too, maybe even just yesterday. It is so important for us to learn to give up the need to be right, especially when we are in the experience of anger or frustration or pain or grief or bitterness or resentment, because my holding on to my desire to be right is, Dr. Sarno talks about, creating a tension within me And in this case, instead of cutting off the flow of oxygen and the blood flow to tissue, it's cutting off the flow of my consciousness and my conscious awareness that this is a miracle that I'm even here able to be aware of life, that I am the extension of this creative energy in form. And when I hold on to my desire to be right, whether that's been conditioned into me by my family or my culture, whether I used to get put down emotionally or I used to get hit physically or I used to get isolated when I was, quote, wrong, or but when I gave an answer that one of my caregivers didn't like, then I learn from my culture, my training, my language, my conditioning, I learn the false message that I need to be right to stay safe. And what the Way of Mastery, Course in Miracles, and the Michael Rice teaching with the Reality Management Worksheet, what they all try to bring home to us is give up the obsession with being right. Cancel your need to be right. Cancel your need for anyone or anything to change, including yourself, and open yourself to a higher level of wisdom, integration, allowance, and support of the flow of life energy through you. So the flow of life energy, the flow of your creative conscious awareness can be opened and restored. And just like when the blood flow is restored in the body, the oxygen gets to tissues and the pain goes away. The same thing with when I give up my need to be right, when I give up my urge to control or my compulsion to control factors that I have no control over. What that does is it shuts down the flow of conscious awareness. It distracts me from the conscious awareness of my life in the moment as a miracle. And so I can learn over time to use any negative emotion, any physical tension, as the alarm system that wakes me up to say, oh, Tim, you've cut yourself off from the flow of creative awareness, the awareness of creation, and you've cut yourself off from your awareness of your true nature as love. And that's why you're having this pain. That's why you're having this tension. That's why you're having this fear. That's why you're having this sadness. That's why you're having this anger. And the only solution to it is not dismantling the anger, it's just opening the awareness to the truth of life flowing in, through, as, and around me in this moment. And just like when I open the flow of conscious awareness beyond that little myopic vision I had that said, I know I'm right about this, and I know this other person's wrong, and that very tight constriction of the focus of my awareness, and I open it up and ask to be shown, it's just like opening up the blood vessels in the body where there's muscle cramping and spasming because there's a reduction of the blood flow and therefore a reduction of the level of oxygen coming to tissues. It is absolutely observable. I can restore peace, calm, and comfort by simply opening my awareness to the whole truth of the creative flow in each moment. And that's what these Course in Miracles lessons have been trying to direct us to do, to usher us into this way of experiencing ourselves differently. So instead of listening to the ego that says you've got to be right, you've got to prove the other person wrong, you know, you have to do and get and accumulate in order to be happy, this lesson says, let me be still and listen to the whole truth, the capital T truth. Let me be still and reconnect, just like the story of the rose and the butterfly. Give them both an ego and they fall madly in love and everything is wonderful until one day, true to its nature, the butterfly flies away, which is its nature, which is how it stays alive. unfortunately, the rose, mistaking its true nature, thinks that its happiness is derived by connection to the butterfly, so it uproots itself to give chase to the butterfly. And because it uproots itself, it cuts itself off from its true source, and it dies. Well, every time I focus on what I want rather than the miracle of life expressing through me, I separate my awareness from my true nature, and I constrict the flow of creative energy through my mind. I convince myself that what my ego is telling me is more important than what life itself is breathing through me. And that's what initiates my discomfort, whatever that negative emotional state is. The solution, operating at the level of cause, is to simply return my awareness to the truth of my nature and the truth of the miracle of life expressing through me. In this lesson, it talks about miracles. And the Creator wants to give you every miracle. And the Creator knows as soon as that happens, and you give them away, you get them again, and you get them in greater measure. As the more you focus your conscious awareness on your true nature, the more you are comforted with the awareness of your true nature. So, we have 28 minutes left. Our call-in number is 563-999-3581. We have 11 callers on the line and somebody in the chat room. How can we support you today? What is on your mind? What would be a valuable topic for the last 26, 27 minutes? Call 563-999-3581 and press 1, and we'll have a conversation. Whether it's about the Course in Miracles lessons or the Way of Mastery or the social media fun house, bouncy balls. We had somebody that was recommending the Resma Menekin talk on how our body carries the knowledge of our traumas. And I have a flyer on my desk where Resma Menica is one of the presenters for a trauma series with Bessel van der Kolk, who's one of the more well-known trauma experts. And Resma Menekin wrote the book My Grandmother's Hands, which is about how we carry the trauma energy in our bodies and how we can tune into the signals that are being given there. And I think back in 2020, Resma did an interview with Krista Tippett, and that's available on onbeing.org. And it replayed again this last Sunday. And I had talked about it when it first came out. I have a friend who does a song about my grandmother's hands, and so I was really interested in the interview. And it's fascinating that we've got, you know, the cultural and the racial traumas, and they're being carried in our bodies. And it's very much in line with all of the energy work that you'll hear Michael Rice talk about. And now it's making its way into a far more mainstream recognition for dealing with trauma, that, you know, it's, we need to recognize, we need to address movement and how we lodge these energies in our bodies. And if you go to the journeysdream.org website and click on the link for the podcast. I did an interview with a woman who created the Somatic Therapy Institute years ago out in Colorado. And again, it's very much what Rezma Menica talks about in his books, that in order to access and dismantle trauma, we have to look at the body. We have to tune into the physical manifestations of these energies as they are locked in our system. And we keep them locked in with our conclusions, our beliefs. And it is possible to access them and release them with movement. It's possible to access them and relieve them at times with this EFT tapping we were talking about earlier. It's possible to access them and relieve them with the kinds of tools that Dr. Michael Rice makes available, the reality management worksheet, the targeted journaling that he calls the mind shifter. And everyone who's willing to do that, everyone who's willing to go face the things that their mind has labeled as too much, too painful, too rage-inducing, too scary, etc., everyone who's willing to do that will eventually discover that part of their mind that labeled this thing as too much was trying to be helpful and protective. But there's nothing in your mind that is bad for you to be aware of. There's no such thing as bad self-knowledge, as Guy Finley would say. There's no such thing as a bad thought, a bad fact you're going to uncover about yourself. And the more we can get access to the energies, the beliefs that we have in our consciousness that we are afraid of, the more quickly we can release them and be free of the negative experiences that we've been generating by holding on to them without even knowing it. So, our calling number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, we'll have a conversation. How can we support you today? What's on your mind? Again, you can access that interview by Rezma Menica at onbeing.org. And there's a host of wonderful shows, podcasts, whatever you want to call them, recordings of Krista Tippett's interviews over the years with a wide range of people, from poets to scientists to spiritual teachers, etc. And that's a really good way to pump some good stuff into your mind while you're riding a bike or doing the dishes or going for a walk, rather than tuning into the social media nightmare or talk radio or the same old television or just getting stuck in your own head with all of your negative thoughts and bitter resentment feelings, etc., because Lord knows we can spend a lot of time doing that. You know, there are enough of us have tried to isolate and found that. Just last night, we were listening to Guy Finley in this Thursday support group, and he told the story of the woman who worked. I usually tell it that she worked at a bank, and there was another woman there that she would see during lunch hours, and they never really talked much, but, you know, she got used to her face, and they'd smile pleasantly at each other, and then one day she noticed that her friend didn't have her usual bright smile, and so she went over to her and she said, "Oh, hi, you know, my name's Betty and we don't talk that much, but I see you around here and it looks like something's off for you today." And she said, "Maybe, you know, if you felt like talking about it, maybe it'd help make it better." So Sarah said, "Okay, thanks, Betty. You know, yeah, I can talk about it. I can tell you about it." She said, "You know, essentially, I live in a verbally and emotionally abusive relationship and Betty says, "Don't you dare put up with that for 1 minute. You don't let anybody else treat you that way. You get away from that man." And she said, no, excuse me, you don't understand. I live alone. There's nobody else in my house. Hunches, most of the people on the call, even if they live alone, they're stuck in a fairly verbally and emotionally abusive pattern inside their own heads. It's rare that there's somebody in our lives that's harder on us than we are on ourselves. Which is why I so frequently go back to the words of this lovely Jewish Buddhist grandmotherly type, Sylvia Boorstein, who says every time she's upset, has a negative emotion going on, she takes a nice deep breath, she puts her hand over her heart space, she talks very gently to herself, and she says, Sylvia, sweetheart, you're in pain. So take a few deep breaths and relax. Calm down, feel better. Then we'll look at what's going on, and then we'll decide what to do. But for right now, Sylvia, sweetheart, you're in pain. Being gentle with myself, getting out, ending the verbally and emotionally abusive relationship with the voice in my head, with the list of shoulds, with the comparative lifestyle, Guy Finley says, almost all of your negative emotional states, emotional and psychological upsets, are the bitter fruit of a comparative life. We have no idea how much we create our own negativity, our own pain, our own suffering, simply by buying into the false belief that we should this or that, that we should compare ourselves to others, that we should be better than or worse than others. And the vast majority of my emotional and psychological pain is the bitter fruit of a comparative life. In another lecture, Guy Finley says, most of your psychological and emotional pain is a direct result of the misapplication of your mental conscious energy. We're doing it to ourselves. We are in the spin. We are in the spiral of negativity that we initiate. Another talk, he says, guilt is the absolute evidence of a mind that first creates something it does not want, something that's painful, and then tries to convince itself it didn't create it by focusing on how strongly it doesn't like what it just created. And this is why the reality management worksheet is so useful. In the first three steps of the worksheet, help me map out what my conscious logical mind is doing to create from the data points that it's selecting out of the trillions that are available, to create a picture that proves to itself my conscious logical mind is right and the person or the place or the things around me, they're wrong. And my upset, my pain, my sadness, my fear is a direct result of them being wrong, not having anything to do with my own internal process. And once I map that out in the first three steps of the reality management worksheet, and I let myself step into the process of figuring out what my mind is trying to tell me has to happen in the outside world or within myself before I can be happy, before I can get access to those miracles that the Course in Miracles lesson today is telling me is my birthright. Once I figure out what my mind is telling me has to happen, then I open a curtain in my practice. I put away everything I think I want. My trifling treasures I put aside, and I leave a clean and open space where an entirely new perception can be given to me. And in that process, as I release my constricted thought and my flow of my conscious awareness, I open up to the flow of life, and it's like restoring the blood flow to physical tissue. The oxygen floods in, the tissue gets what it needs, and the pain is relieved. The same thing happens every time I restore my conscious awareness to my true nature as the energy of creation expressing in form. All that's left are the miracles and the experience of the miracles. And it goes beyond a word, any word, each new heartbeat. And that's what we're here to support. We're here to support people using those tools frequently, if not daily. We're here to support people in taking 100% responsibility for the negative emotions they experience and turning them into a very useful, constructive part of that infallible guidance system that we've all been gifted. And we have 14 minutes left. Time for a comment or a question or a suggested topic for the second hour. Call in number again is 563-999-3581. If you call that number and press 1, you can help be a part of making this show more relevant. You can also email Jeannie at jeannie@yagain.org. Or email me at tjh@mindshifters-academy.org. And join the fun. Come on in. The water's fine. We have 11 callers and one person in the chat room. What would make this last 12 minutes or so useful for you? I remember the host of wonderful older audio files that I've invested in from Guy Finley. And one of my favorites is a CD series he has titled Liberate Yourself. And I think it's the number 5 disc in that session where he's got some stories that are just, they're classic. And it's... These are powerful parables about our own mental and emotional processing and our running from the truth of our lives. Just like I was reading from the mirror theory the other day, there's a portion of the mirror theory where it says, fear is created. It's one of these books where, you know, when you slow down and read what they're saying, really read it, it's amazing. Fear is not just affected by, but fear is created when a person refuses to face the truth about their life. But as soon as we do face the truth about our life, fear disappears. Fear only lives in a soul that refuses to make a decision. To heal is to walk right into whatever we think is paralyzing us. So again, fear is absolutely created by refusing to face the truth about our lives. And as soon as we face the truth about our lives, fear disappears. Fear can only live in a soul that refuses to make a decision. To heal our fear is to walk right into whatever we think is paralyzing us. And then, of course, as we do, we get demonstrate to ourselves that that wasn't paralyzing us at all because we walked right into it and the paralyzation is gone and the fear is gone. Area code 314, you're in the air. Who do we have?
Hey, Dr. Tim. Doug. And
Doug.
Doug, yes.
You raised your hand when I was talking about fear?
That's right.
How brave
exactly
of you.
Exactly right. And the interesting thing is, I didn't even realize that.
How can we support you today, Doug?
Your speaking was nonetheless, even though I didn't realize it was thinking about fear, was like enticing. It's like, well, I want to know more about that. That was my impulse. It was like, what does that look like, walking into our fear, you know? And I find it very entertaining that you point that out, that you're talking about fear. But yeah, you're you know, like, how do we, like, I'm just like, what does that look like to walk right into our fear? What does it look like to try to, my brain just wants to understand that better, to try and,
well, the other part of it, Doug, the other part of it is to make a decision and walk right into the decision, to take an action.
Okay.
Fear only lives in a soul that refuses to make a decision. Oftentimes, we have these thoughts about a decision, and we put it off, and we're weighing them back and forth. And as we do, we slumber in our suffering. Whereas if we just make the decision and take an action on it, we act on the knowledge that was given when we got quiet and asked for insight or guidance, and then we just take an action. And as Guy Finley says, you cannot act on what you think is the truth without life or truth letting you know. Did you do the right thing? Are you heading in the right direction? But many of us are stuck in action. And when we're stuck in the inaction, when we're refusing to make a decision, that's when we give birth to the fear.
Mm-hmm. I see. Yeah, that.
But it
that,
says right in that quote that as soon as you make the decision and act on it, there is no more fear. Now you're busy dealing with the consequences, positive or negative, and you get on with your life.
Right. Okay, I can see that. And, of course, we would really say choice, right? I mean, from a certain context, we just mean take an action. But we wouldn't want to make a decision, really.
Michael Rice talks about how the difference between choice and decision is that, you know, Michael Rice talks about it as a spiritual faculty of choice, and a decision is just this automatic response mechanism that, like a reflex.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Okay. Well, that seems like enough. I mean, that's like that. That's the clarity of it. Feels like there's more to it, but
well, it always feels like there's more to it when I sit back and think about it rather than take the action. Because
yes.
I can spin an infinite number of, you know, alternate realities, and I'm creating realities to fear. What if it goes this way? What if it goes that way? And I can live within that world of the ego mind and all those various realities and torture myself with the fear. But as soon as I make that choice or decision and step into it, things change. And then I don't have to sit and spin with these various realities and fantasies and worries. Things either happen that need me to respond directly to them or they don't.
And so at least for me, you would say that doing that is the most important, or a most important meaning of walking into our fears, is just making a choice and taking action. That would be what I'm hearing. Yes.
Well, think about it. Think about it the way this quote is outlining it. It's saying that the fear disappears when we walk into what we think was paralyzing us.
Okay.
Nothing is paralyzing me. Nothing is actually paralyzing me. But I can think that this situation is paralyzing me. And then I have the experience of being paralyzed.
Right. Yeah. Okay, that's good. I'm glad I asked you the question.
Well, we had the thing come up in this week because I had redone my blog and lost it and all that. And then I scrolled down and I found a blog post from about 2 years ago, and it was talking about the interaction I had with a coach I'd hired to try and take Michael Rice's work to a broader audience, and paid a, you know, very large sum of money for me, off the charts large investment, and had been working with him and traveled to Canada to meet with him and traveled to Carlsbad, California to meet with him in a mastermind group, and I had all of this effort and energy to try and build out a network to make Michael Rice's work nationally and internationally known. And then I'm in a coaching call, a video coaching call with this guy after those two trips, and in this enormous investment in money, and it's supposed to be like a 2-year-long program we're doing, and he makes it abundantly clear to me in the video call that he's ripping me off. And I had that sick feeling in my stomach. You know, the audio files are there if you want to review this. And I talked about the work I did and the worksheets and tapping and breathing and everything. All that stuff is there to be listened to again. But the point that's relevant for this is I had this very heavy, sick, painful feeling in my stomach as soon as I realized what was happening in this video call. And that stayed with me and churned in my energy system and my physiology for a day or two until I just formulated the response to that series of events, wrote it out, detoxified it, wrote it in the email again, and then sent it to him, and then had a brief phone call with him to verify this relationship's over. And as soon as I did that, that sick, heavy feeling in my stomach was 80 or 90% dismantled. That's an example of walking into what I had for a day or two felt was paralyzing me. Oh, my God, what do I do about this? My true knowing is this guy's not doing what he's telling me he's doing, and I'm not going to reach the goal that I've set with all of this expenditure of time and money to help Michael Rice's work get out there. Oh, my gosh, what do I do? Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, what's going to happen if I lose all that money? Oh, my gosh, what if I can't get Michael's work out there at a bigger level? Oh, my gosh. And I sat in that fear and physical sickness for a day or two until I said, well, there really isn't anything to do here. I know what I know, and I can't send this guy any more money, and I can't get any money back from him, and I have to walk away from this. And as soon as I did, that sick feeling, that terror in my stomach, that upset, 80 to 90% gone right there. That's a living example of that. Fear can only live in the soul that refuses to acknowledge the truth about itself. It cannot live in a mind that walks right into what it thinks is paralyzing it.
And what was the date of that, those files?
Somewhere in March of 2019. And you could scroll down through my blog posts, and I'm sure I posted some blog posts about them, or you can go to the I think I tapped into it with the archives at whyagain.org, and I think I scrolled down, and it's somewhere in March of 2019. I think the heading Jeannie put on it is Dr. Tim works through a couple intense worksheets or something like that.
Okay. Thanks.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for the call. We're out of time, so I'll mute you and we'll make the transition. Thanks for the call,
great.
Doug.
Sure. Thank you.
I'll remind us all that we come from love. We're made of the stuff we call love. We actually are love. and everything else is false. Welcome, Jeannie Rice. Are we going to do an actual handoff today? Are you there to turn your microphone on? I'm turning your microphone on.
I apologize.
Are you,
I'm
are
using
you there?
My phone, but not the... Yeah, can you hear me?
Yep.
Hello? Okay.
Yeah. Yesterday, when I was trying to turn your microphone on and off, I got kicked off. So I thought, oh, maybe they're having technical difficulties. But apparently you were able to get on. And...
Yeah, actually what happened was just about the time the show started, my dad called and he had some issues going on and I had to run downstairs and take care of him. And so Michael was on his own to start the show. So I'm glad you had gone ahead and turned my mic on because I was probably 20 after getting back up here to assist. So...
All right. Well, blessings. Have a wonderful show. Having a great weekend.
Thank you, and have a good weekend. You too. Thanks.
Bye.
Bye. So welcome, everybody, to the second hour of Mindshifters Radio. Today is Friday, April the 16th, 2021, and our call-in number is 563-999-3581, and press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk to us. And we'd love to hear your comments and questions because that makes this your show. Give Michael just a moment to dial in and hope everybody does have an awesome weekend. I'm looking forward to tomorrow. Michael's going to breathe me. And it's been a little trying week with Dad. And so I am ready to go to the next level. My measure, if you've been listening to that, I had gotten the message that I would expand in 5 measures, and I'm on the 4th measure now, and I've been given the message that it's around safety and feeling safe and being able to let go of the need to control my space so that I feel safe. And so hopefully tomorrow when Michael briefs me, I'll get through that one and report to you on Monday what happens. And we appreciate everybody holding the space. So, Michael, are you with us?
I am.
Awesome. I was just filling in time by talking about my 5 measures and that you were going to breathe me tomorrow and that I had been given the message that my 4th measure was safety. And so I'm hoping to work through all of that tomorrow.
Yay. Yeah, I have this sense. Jeannie actually did a little bit of work on me this morning as we were getting up, and I ended up with a 2-hour breath session on my own, just in process, sweet space, and I think we're getting ready for another big opening again. So I think tomorrow's going to be a major happening, Jeannie, so we'll hold the space.
Yeah.
And we're,
the notes that I took down was that it was going to be safe to remember mentally and emotionally and to remember in my body. You know, our body doesn't forget even if we block something out of our mind. And to move from survival to living and thriving and start dreaming. And I feel like it's a big one. And I know I need to face every atrocity that I went through and every false belief I took on. And, you know, it's always been that when in my perception, there was danger or threat that I turned on the freeze mode. You've heard of fight and flight and freeze, and that it's safe to let go of the coping strategies and actually feel what's real. And then what came to me was it was safe to sleep again. And I never connected that my issues with sleeping had to do with not feeling safe to sleep. So those are just some notes I've taken down this week.
Powerful new levels and powerful new openings. I shared the other day that after our monumental responsibility communication practicum that Chuck and Magda did, it was just fabulous. And I had a visual of that and how monumental it is, that the tool and using it from the point of view of where we look with our normal human consciousness, even if we're working on advancing it. And then I was kind of transported to another perspective and saw how in the scheme of actuality, in reality, you know, the realities of the world, it's huge. But what I was shown was in the actuality, it was minuscule. And then I recently had a dream where we were looking at purchasing a new house, which we're not, but anyway. So our new house, this was it. And it was, I don't even remember if I was given a number, but it was like tens of tens of tens of thousands of square feet. And every room was more awesome and monumental than the last one. So it's kind of like we're getting ready to grow into the next level of the work of forgiveness and move into this actuality in a deeper way. It's interesting. There's a woman named Candace Pert. She's got a book, really quite an interesting read or listen, called Your Body is Your Subconscious Mind. And one of the things that Candace puts out, and this is a woman who's the head of, who was, she's passed now, was a really sweet lady. I met her and met with her a couple times, but she was the head of Brain Bio Research and National Medical Institute of Health. She was a person who discovered opiate receptors in the brain. I mean, she just was this awesome scientist. And she was right in line with the forgiveness process. But one of the things she said that her take was that the smallest unit to go into the, whatever you might want to call it, the actuality into the higher state, that the smallest unit was two. That it was the connectedness that made the space for the real work to be done. Anyway, delighted and honored to be part of this process with you as each of us joins and supports in moving to this this deeper understanding, this deeper direct experience of actuality as the Creator created it. And you know, you look back in the ancient teachings, they said, the mind of man is not yet conceived of what lies in store, what the possibilities are. And for me, this dream I had, it was really clear. It was just a symbol of what is waiting, of what is opening, what is getting ready to come through humanity, through us as a whole. And our chosen purpose here is to support, actually to convert minds. You know, we all came in with the mind linked to love, and then we were converted. We were converted to, most people were converted to, and I speak for myself here, but most people I've observed were converted to hostility and fear-based minds from love-based minds. And we're looking to do a conversion of every mind, heart, and being on the planet back to a love-based mind, not to a church, to a love-based mind. To the space where they function out of words and the actions that are key to love. You don't find a mind that is expressing and filled with love that's got all kinds of words based in hostility, fear, and threat. It's just totally ludicrous to think that that's going to happen. So where you find that threatening kind of language, I don't care whether it's politics or theology or business or wherever it is, you don't find the presence of love. And so we're here to support making a shift, making a movement to really, truly supporting each of us living in love-based minds. And as part of that effort, we have been reading the opening class. Dr. Tim is wonderfully doing A Course in Miracles. And of course, you can pick up another perspective on the course, because 2 years ago, we did the course as well for a year. Each class opened, so there are different perspectives on the course. And this year I decided to read from Why Is This Happening to Me Again? And What You Can Do About It. And it's a book that it's out of print now, unfortunately, and I don't know that we'll print it again. But it is available on usually Amazon or eBay has used copies. I'm being told that they're getting up around $7 and $8 now, that you can't buy them for $2 or $3 anymore like you used to be able to. So you can pick a copy up there or other used bookstores online. I think there's one called Abe's that usually has some. And or you can go to our website, whyagain.org.
And there is a picture of the book on the page. You can click on that and download a copy of it free in one of several different languages. Or if you go to whyagain.org and you look in the upper right-hand corner, you'll see a link there that says MP4s. You can click that link, and the last item on that page is the latest version. It is not the same as the printed version. The printed version is an earlier writing on Why Is This Happening to Me Again, and the newest version is in that MP4. So you can buy that on the MP4 page, where you can pick up all of our DVDs. We've had them all converted now to streaming service, so you can pick those up. And once you buy them streaming, and they're half price of what they were with the physical media, you've got permanent access to those. And we're going to we haven't chosen how to do that yet, but we're going to set up a bulk purchase that you can buy the whole set as well if you're interested. So if you're interested in that, drop Jeannie a note and we'll let you know when we get that handled. In any event, we're on the chapter Ancient Wisdom, page 56, if you're reading along with us. And we're pointing out the fact that unless removal of what does not belong, unless hostility and fear are removed from the human system, healing isn't going to occur, because disease states are hostility and fear. So one way or the other, people are going to have to get a hold of this forgiveness tool if they're going to really, truly heal. And I'm talking about healing physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. Can't be done without it. You know, it's like, we're going to paint the house. You can't paint the house unless you got a can of paint. You got to go somewhere to get a can of paint. That's just the way it is if you're going to paint the house. And you're going to have to reach somewhere to find forgiveness. And again, let's redefine the word. It's got nothing to do with I'm going to let you off the hook because there's something painful moving in me. It's the tool with which I go inside myself and remove my diseases. So we've been pointing that out to Richard in this particular chapter. And Richard had asked the question about, you know, his mind has been kind of brainwashed with forgiveness. It's got something to do with religion. He's already blown that off. He doesn't want anything to do with religion. And so I've been having a conversation with him that, you know, religions address forgiveness. But in fact, actual forgiveness is physiology. It's physics. You know, if you want a house that's clean, now you may have a religion that talks about how to clean your house properly, and people think that cleaning your house is religious. But if you want a house that's clean, you've got to clean your house. That's just the way it is. It's got nothing to do with somebody's philosophy. If you're going to have a physiological device called the body-mind unit that functions properly, you're going to have to clean it. You're going to have to remove what doesn't belong. And the act of removing it is called forgiveness. So we've just had that conversation about it's got nothing to do with religion, although religions address forgiveness. Richard says, for me, forgiveness has been linked to religion, something which doesn't interest me. It never occurred to me that it could be useful in a practical sense outside of the religious context. He softened a little as he continued. Tell me more about this Aramaic and why it's so important. According to historians, the Aramaic language sprang into being, into life in full maturity. There was no developmental period, nor any known place of origin. The Aramaic is one of the oldest spoken and written languages in the world. It was the language of the day throughout the Persian and Babylonian empires from 1000 BC to 1000 AD. Aramaic could be heard from the Mediterranean to the Great Wall of China, and still spoken today in some villages in Lebanon and in the mountains of northern Iraq, as well as California and Chicago and several other places. The Zoroastrian, Hebrew, Christian, Islamic, and Baha'i faiths were all originally taught in Aramaic, and it is the language of many of the Dead Sea Scrolls. It was the native tongue of Moses, Abraham, Yeshua, Muhammad, and Baha'u'llah. Richard says, well, how does that relate to my 20th century mind? The Aramaic language and culture impart a practical understanding of human behavior and clearly explain how the mind works. It has the ability to convey deep psychological meanings by simply adding prefixes and suffixes to root words, an ability unknown in any other language. It seems to me that it has this ability because the Aramaic people had an understanding that no other culture has acquired to date, and I'm saying literally now, 2,000 years later. This ancient language encompasses a technology desperately needed to heal the insanities in our culture. And of course, that technology is forgiveness. And, you know, when I first came across the technology that we now teach as first century Aramaic forgiveness, it didn't particularly impress me. It was just kind of like, well, okay. And I would mention it once in a while in my workshops, and I'd have people come back to me saying, wow, I've been doing that Aramaic forgiveness thing, and that's really changed things for me. That's really powerful. And I was like, oh, really? Because when I heard it, it was just like, as most people are like, so let me see. I want something from you, and I'm angry because I can't get it. You've made me so angry. And the key to me fixing that is to cancel my need for what I want from you. That just sounds plain stupid. And it is in the normal human way of thinking. Now, it took me 30-plus, I started to teach it because I heard people, I got feedback from people about how effective it was in their lives. And it took me almost 35 years of teaching it. And when I say that, I mean on a full-time basis, before I could put all the pieces together to understand how and why that was such a powerful tool and how it worked. And having taken that long to understand it, you know, I've got a couple of doctorates, you know. Having taken that long, I can certainly recognize why the Greeks, coming with their Greek mindset and their Greek brain cells, could not fathom what the word forgive meant in Aramaic, and so they turned it into this, I'm going to let you off the hook for what's happening inside of me. But once you understand how the mind works, a la Aramaic explanation, then you realize that perception is just a construct of your mind. And if it's based in pain and you've hidden your pain from yourself, the way that you get to the root of your pain is by canceling the goal that drives the perception that is made out of that pain. And I mean, literally, for me to say this one sentence took me 35 years of working with the Aramaic. Your goal is a driver that causes your pained perception. When you cancel that goal, your pained perception collapses, and you now have access to what underlies your pain. Now, just listen to that sentence. It's so simple. But think about the Greek mind coming to that with its ideas of everybody else is to blame, and I'll let you off the hook, and you understand why. They just couldn't fathom it. And, you know, who's hung around with it long enough? You know, I feel blessed by the fact that in part I chose to do it, and in part the universe kind of pushed me into a corner to do it. But I kept working with that and working with it and working with it until it finally dawned on me, ah, here's how the process works. You know, we've got wonderful that we've got, you know, one particular piece of information that the Greeks didn't have 2,000 years ago and haven't had for all those thousands of years. And that is, there was some research done back in the 50s by a psychologist at Harvard University. And what he showed was that in a time frame where 10,000 brain cells fire, and this was like a huge piece of the puzzle for me to understand why Yeshua was teaching what he was about forgiveness. What he showed was 10,000, I mean, there were literally, they could hook up the brain to electrodes and measure brain cell firings, and there were literally 10,000 units of electrical activity happening in the brain. And in that same time frame, which was about a 25th of a second, the max amount of data that went into conscious awareness was 9 bits. So when you realize that the pool of perceptual data available is huge, the construct of perception is made of a tiny fragment of that. And here's where the whole thing clicked for me. So when you realize there's a tiny fragment, something has to determine which 9 bits of data out of 10,000 are going to be used to generate that perceptual construct. Like, that was the major piece of the puzzle for me. Now, how Yeshua knew that 2,000 years ago, I don't know, to be able to teach the technology of forgiveness. Working with it, all of a sudden it was like, something has to drive the process of perception. Something has to determine which 9 bits of data. And that which determines it, the driver for perception, is your goal. That's why canceling your goal is so powerful. Now, think about that, and how long would it take you to understand that if there was nothing to explain it to you? Well, might take you 35 years, too. Or maybe longer. I was fortunate. I had the medical perspective. I had the theological training, the theological perspective. My background's in physics. Putting all those pieces together, it was like, that's it. There's the key. So I don't cancel my goal because there's something wrong with my goal. I don't cancel my goal because I don't like my goal. I cancel my goal because when I load it in my mind, it causes my mind to use unresolved, painful content to build my perceptual construct. And when that perceptual construct moves, I'm now in pain. How do I get free of that? I cancel the goal. When I cancel the goal, when I remove the driver for my pain perception collapses. When it collapses in on itself. You know, I like to use the visual of the 9/11 towers. Remember that those buildings we saw drop free fall speed into their own footprint, which, of course, is a total complete impossibility, but that's another topic. But when you visualize those buildings dropping into their own footprint, use that visual to recognize that your surface mind, there on the 90th floor with its perception, when you withdraw that which cause that particular data to be used, when you remove that, when you cancel that, that perception collapses in on its own footprint, and now you've got access to the underlying data. And there's the core of first century for Aramaic forgiveness. Without that, you don't heal. I don't care what you do. Now, there are other ways to accidentally fall into it. You know, if you hear Dr. Tim, I've heard him several times explain how he would go to different workshops where therapists were having phenomenal results with people, but the people who went to those trainings couldn't produce the same result as the original therapist did. Like, nobody else could do it. And what attracted him to this work is he could take it, hand it to anybody, and anybody could produce the result. So, you know, my take would be that, you know, the therapist who, you know, maybe they're an expert at holding the space and opening the space for people. And if somebody doesn't have that skill, then they can't produce the result that that therapist does. But you can hand this tool to anybody. And if they'll use it, they'll experience forgiveness. And so we invite you to pass it on. And you don't have to believe it works. You don't have to know how it works. You don't have to even imagine that it works. If you just consistently, persistently use the tool, what you will find is that your mind will be less and less traumatized. Your life will be more and more alive and joyful as you simply apply the tool of forgiveness. Because whether you believe it or not, because it works with the mechanical ways the mind works, it works. That's all. And the core of forgiveness is literally identifying specifically what the outcome is that you want in this situation that seems to be the cause of your pain, putting that into words, identifying as precise as you can what that goal is, canceling the goal, and the perceptual construct of your mind collapses. When it collapses in on itself. And now you can get acquainted with your own unconscious and remove those unconscious dynamics. And when you remove those unconscious dynamics, one, your perception becomes more delightful and more joyful. Two, your diseases begin to disappear. Three, the people around you become more pleasant, more fun to be with. Four, you become more pleasant and more fun to be with. Five, you get to move into creating your life consciously rather than out of unconscious dynamics because you've reached in, uncovered, and cleaned up your own unconscious dynamics. And your own unconscious dynamics consists of everything that's ever happened in your life and in all of the generations of your bloodline. If you live in an unconscious state of that, then you live in what in the ancient teachings was called the desert. You might remember the story of the Jews wandering in the desert for 40 years. Now, you go take a look at that desert, measured out to about a 35-square-mile area. Do you really believe that these people who've already shown that they know astronomy very well didn't know how to get out of a 35-square-mile area, couldn't have followed the rising sun and gotten out of there in a matter of a few days? It wasn't about a 35-square-mile hot, sandy place. The desert is just a code word for the unconscious. And you remember, if you read that story, what did they say had to happen? Had to happen. Must absolutely, totally, completely, 1,000. What must happen to get out of the desert? They said the old generation had to die off. Now, that doesn't mean everybody in old physical bodies has to physically die, which some people have interpreted. The root of the word generation is genari. It means cause. All of the old causes held in the mind from the past had to be processed through and removed to enter into what was called the promised land. What is the promised land? The promised land is the land of conscious co-creation. We actually do a workshop called On Creating Consciously. If you go to that MPR 4 link that I told you about in the upper right-hand page of the homepage on whyagain.org, you'll find that two-hour video. And it looks at this dynamic of we're creators. Probably the greatest atrocity done to us as human beings down through the ages and that we've bought into is that we've had hidden from us the fact that we are by nature creators. You and I create every outcome that happens in our lives. That's why when you say, why is this happening to me again, you start to realize every time it's happening, you've been there, that you're the creator of it. You're the one who's bringing these energetic patterns about. What was the promised land? The promised land was conscious co-creation. You didn't create energetically out of old dissociated pain content that you didn't want to look at, that you didn't want to deal with, that you didn't want to feel. You develop enough courage to access those parts of your mind. And those parts of your mind might be, you know, as Jeannie was saying at the beginning of the session, you know, reaching a whole new level of understanding of the willingness to access the deepest, darkest, most hurtful parts of your past, of your generations, to bring them forward in the presence of light and transmute that restricted energy into the flow of love through your structure. When you do that, you get increased life. If you listen to this man, Yeshua, 2,000 years ago, he didn't say, I come to bring you a new dogma. I come to bring you a doctrine. I come to bring you a religion. I come to bring you a reason to beat other people up in the world and say you've got the best. He said, I come to bring you life and bring it more abundantly. Men made up all that other stuff. He came to teach people how to live as human beings, how to access, how to address their own unconscious dynamics. And that's not an easy process, and that's not a fun process. It can be hell to go through that because most people carry that hell around inside of them. In fact, if you go to that passage where a group of disciples say to him, you know, what do we have to do to please the Creator? And he tells them, and half of his audience say, too hard a saying, and they get up and they leave. And they never come back. You're not going to like everything that you get to confront as you work with us. You're not going to like that. In fact, there are going to be parts of it that are going to be extremely, and when I say extremely, well, let's say it this way. They'll be no more traumatic than they were when they were first experienced, which means some of them might be pretty heavy duty. And we're here to carry you through those heavy duty parts of your own mind, the undoing of those heavy duty parts of your own genetic history. You know, what happened with great-great-great-great-grandma, great-great-great-great-grandpa? What was going on in their world? What was going on in the country they lived in? What was going on when the military came to town? What was, you know, one of my big healing opportunities, and I've probably done this movie, you know, it's kind of like Vicarious Atonement. And, you know, my ancestry is Scottish. And every time that vengeance would come up for me, I would go back and watch the trauma, and I'd breathe, and I'd forgive. I'd watch the trauma of the Scots as the British came in and abused and slaughtered and mangled men, women, and children in Scotland. Done a lot of breathing as I sat and watched Mel Gibson play that role, and had to work through, you know, one of my why is this happening to me again processes as I watched that film was the scene where the king tells his henchmen to send in the Irish to a battle where they know they're going to be slaughtered, and his general says, well, we've got bows and arrows. We've got arrows. We can shoot them. And the king says, arrows cost us money. Send in the Irishmen. They don't cost us anything. Whew. Talk about vengeance. So we're here to create the space of support for all of those aspects of every mind, heart, and being on the planet to open, to support looking in physiology where the restriction of energy exists, to open the pathways where love is supposed to be flowing, but those pathways have been blocked by rage and guilt, grief, hate, vengeance, and abuse. To allow access, I mean, literal, direct, you're going to see it, you're going to feel it, but you're going to see it and feel it in the presence of active love and dissolve it and free yourself from it. You know, there's an old saying that says the brave die once, the coward 1,000 times. The person who will not face the past in themselves is condemned to repeat it. The person who will not face and forgive the past dynamics that are painful within their minds and their genes and their heredity get to play it out over and over and over again. They literally get to live the title of my book. Those who have the courage to directly access those parts of their minds, which is what forgiveness empowers. And the reason why a lot of people see it and they get excited and go, this is great, and after their fifth worksheet, turn and run, because they start to realize what it is they're going to have to start to look at. But sooner or later, if you're going to be free of it, you have to start to look at it and process it out. And as you process it out, you become free of it. You move out of the desert and you move into the promised land. And, you know, and that was just another way of explaining to people what this work was about. So we're honored and delighted to share this path with each of you, and know that we are here with full 100% support and a 100% commitment to refining our own skills, doing our own work as we bring these tools forward on a global scale. So delighted and honored to have you with us. And Miss Jeannie, do we have anybody out
we
there
have
in the
hand.
Phone queue with a hand up? Oh, great. Well, let's say hello to the hand.
It is Miss Roma, 808. You're on the air.
Welcome, young lady. Aloha.
Aloha. Oh, beautiful.
How are you
beautiful.
Today? What's happening in your world?
Oh, glory. I'm just experiencing just the radiant glory of love. I think the movie, the name of the movie you were referencing, is that Braveheart?
Braveheart, yes.
Yeah, oh, Braveheart.
Did I? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, it's powerful.
So, it's all right. Yeah, Braveheart.
It's a powerful piece of work.
Yeah, it is. So we are about in our intensive, in our 14th intensive, we are about to move into the phase where we do the breathing. What do you call it?
Your voice is cutting out a little bit.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that's too bad.
You stay close to the microphone.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we're about to go into our final phase of the still point breathing.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have a question about the breath. Actually, two. I would like for you to share with us what in normal breathing, there's an inhale, and then there is a stoppage, and then there's an exhale, and then there is another stoppage.
For a lot of people,
in
yes.
What's the name of our style of breathing?
Still point.
Still point. In our still point breathing, it is a circular process where there is no stopping point in those two places, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. And so I was wondering if you could describe to me and to all of us what happens at those points where we stop. The end of the inhale and the end of the exhale. What's going on in those stoppage points? That is not a part of the circular breathing that is so healing.
Well, just in case you didn't get the note, you know, we were going to be breathing this Wednesday.
Oh, I got it.
In the
got
class,
it.
But we've yeah. postponed that by a week. We're going to do an extra week, but. You know, in essence, what's really going on with the breath, I don't think anybody knows. The best explanation I know is that if you go back into the original creation story in the ancient Aramaic, where they purportedly say God sent out his spirit, it doesn't say that. It says the creator sent out its breath. And when people cut off or shut down the breath purposely or unconsciously hold the breath, they are cutting themselves off from the flow of life and the flow of love, and they end up in trauma and disease. What the still point breath does is it allows full reconnection to that breath, and part of that process, and I don't teach it except in person when we're actually facilitating a group. Part of the process of that is when you get to the still point, as opposed to the breath, and you know, you've done this many times over the years, and you'll recall that when you hit a still point, you're not holding your breath. In fact, sometimes you kind of are a little bit surprised, at least I've found it. You know, I'm breathing along, all of a sudden I become aware that my breath isn't moving. I'm not breathing, but I'm not holding my breath. My breath is spontaneously stopped.
Right.
And that's the place and why it's called still point breathing, because people go into a place where everything is still and quiet. And it's like they've created a super processor condition. I use an example of, let's imagine that, you know, I've got a neighbor across the road. He's about 2,000 feet away and his power's gone off. And he says, Michael, I've got a board I need to cut to get to my power panel to fix it. Do you have a saw? And I say, sure. Yeah, well, it's an electric plug-in saw. Well, I don't have any electricity. I say, well, okay. I've got some extension cords. Now, I've got, you know, 600 5-foot extension cords. You know, those little 5-footers. I've got 600 of them. So I'm going to plug them all into each other, and I'm going to run the cord across the street. Now, if I measure here in the wall where I plug the cord in, I'm going to have 120 volts. But if I go across the street when I pull the trigger on the saw and put a load on it with all the resistance between my house and his house, I might have 50 volts of electricity when I measure that, and the saw is not going to work very well because of the resistance in the cord. If I were to get a superconductor, if I were to get a piece of wire that we would call a superconductor, I plug it in here and the voltage is 120.1 volts. And I go across the street and I can put the biggest load I want on. I could run 10 saws on it, and across the street with a superconductor, the voltage is still going to be 120.1 volts. There's going to be no loss of power. And so what happens when we reconnect fully with the breath as we're designed to is there comes a point where, and this is just my thesis from my background in physics and energy and medicine and such, what I understand is happening, and again, the real thing is we're connecting directly to the Creator's breath, but what happens is it's like we go, all of the resistance in the structure goes into this superconductor state, and you get to move things high speed, fast forward. Tie this in with the Aramaic meaning of the word Satan. And Satan in Aramaic is not this dude with a red suit, a tail, and a pitchfork, but rather Satan means the resistor, one who misleads. So when, you know, let's say I'm in pain and Roma comes along and says, geez, Michael, you know, I noticed that when I saw you 2 years ago and 5 years ago, you had the same kind of pain going on. Instead of talking about Bill over there and blaming Bill, why don't you take some responsibility and look at the way you're causing your pain? Now, if I'm in denial, I'm going to turn to Roman and say, who do you think you are? Listen, you don't know what's going on here. Bill did this. And I'll go into resistance to hearing what you have to say. I'll hold my breath, and I'll give you my mislead, my whole story about Bill. I just completed the cycle of being trapped in Satan. And when we've done that over and over and over and over and over again, we've locked all those energetic patterns in our tissue structure, and it takes that superconductor state to open it and let the release go. You know, Jeannie shared with us, it was about 2 weeks ago, I was doing a still point session with her, and she went into a really super deep still point. And when she came back out of that still point, it was with just this huge gasp and a flood of tears. And the grief she touched into was just monumental. And she still pointed her way into accessing that which previously had been hidden. And then, with the breath, was able to open it in the still point, feel it fully, and then with the gasp came back and just directly felt the deep sadness and grief of that experience in her life. And that's what happens in still point, is you get to directly access that. And when you do it, instead of out of resistance and being trapped in a false story about somebody else, you do it in the presence of active love, then the dissolution of the trauma energies that have been held in tissue begins to happen, and we become free of the trauma. That would be my explanation.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. And deserving,
yeah,
as Dr. Kim would say. Yay.
Welcome and deserving, right?
There you go.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes, ma'am. So is
right.
That it with what you were looking to grasp, to get a handle on?
Well, I didn't know what it was I was looking for, but I knew I had a question. So thanks for answering.
Yeah. Good question.
From your perspective. Yeah.
Sweet.
So, yes, it's a day of beauty and love and heavenly blue morning glories here.
Nice. It's been kind of strange. It's been getting warmer and nice here. Last night it went down to 33 degrees here. We have tomato plants out, and they were traumatized this morning. We got up. Jeannie had gone out and bought a new hummingbird bush. It was beautiful, and it was drooped down. It was like it did not like 33 degrees. We didn't realize it was going to get that cold, so we didn't cover anything. And they're talking about next week having a 32-degree night, so strange weather.
Oh, yeah.
But I'd imagine Maui's pretty nice right about now.
Yeah, well, it's kind of, it's a little bit cooler than normal, actually.
Has it?
I had, I have a little, you know, movable radiator thing that you plug in. It's electric, but it looks like a radiator.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I carry it from, you know, I bring it into the bedroom when I go to sleep, and I take it in the living room when I'm, it's
been,
not.
Been needing to use it, eh?
Mm. Well, you know, the funny thing is that when you live here, your body gets used to this, you know, really area between, it doesn't usually get colder than 65, and it doesn't usually get hotter than 90, you know. So we live in that area all the time. So if it gets down to 60, you think it's cold. Yeah.
You know it, eh?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but you on the mainland would laugh at us, but, you know, 60 degrees, 50, doesn't even, I don't think it's in the 80s, but, yeah. So I guess,
cool.
You know, our bodies get sensitized to what's normal.
There is some adaptation, yeah. Well, anything else on your mind for today, young lady?
Oh, thank you, thank you. I don't think we heard. Did we hear you read for the book yet today? I don't think so.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, we did it. We did it.
I remember you talked about it. Yeah, okay. All right. Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Well, thank you very much, and much love.
All right. Have a blessed one.
All, and thank you. Aloha.
Okay. Aloha. Take care. Bye-bye. So we've got a little less than 15 minutes left. Miss Jeannie, do we have anything else happening in the chat room or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up?
No, it is all quiet. So someone press one.
Is Bob with us? We haven't heard from Bob in a while. He's not with us?
He was with us a couple of times this week, but he's not here today.
Ah, okay. Well, we'll send a shout-out to Bob down under. And if you're out there in listener land and you're on one of those stations where we can't see you, our call-in number is 563-999-3581. If you call that number, you'll be listening to the show directly. And then if you push 1 on your telephone pad, keypad, that will raise a hand in the phone queue, and Jeannie will introduce you by your area code. How can we support you? What's on your mind? I can only imagine with the conversation we've had so far that explanation of forgiveness usually resonates some resistance or some brain cells for people where they want more of an explanation or more of an understanding. So I can only imagine that would bring up or rattle some brain cells. It might bring some questions forward and or the discussion about still point breathing, about the breath. And so I can't imagine that there are no questions out there. And of course, some people sometimes feel like, oh, I'm going to get on the radio, my voice will be shaky. Well, if you've got a question in your mind, what if you just make it okay for your voice to be shaky? Go ahead and push 1 and let's ask your question. Or sometimes people are like, well, you know, my question is not very important. I haven't been around this work very much, so I don't even know what questions to ask. Every question opens another space, so your questions are most, most welcomed. I actually consider your questions to be an awesome gift because it's through the questions that people have asked over the years that have, it's those questions that have helped me go into arenas of thought that I had never gone into previously and to explore and understand from as many perspectives as possible how impactful this forgiveness process can be. And then, of course, developing all of the tools that are corollaries to forgiveness. By the way, one of the tools, and probably when I mention this, Gene will grab the link and put it in today's notes as well. We did a particularly powerful session in our intensive, our codependence to interdependence communication practicum last week when we did the communication practicum. And Magda, who you've heard on the show quite often, and Chuck, you've heard from once in a while, were kind enough to be the subjects of that practicum and walk through the step-by-step worksheet process on responsibility communication. And the two-hour session was just awesome. And we felt like it was so awesome and so important that we decided to go ahead and put a link up for it for 2 weeks so that anybody who's part of the radio show can listen to it. And so if you go to the notes for the last couple, 2-3 days ago, and or it'll be in today's note, knowing Junie. So if you click on that link, you'll get free access to that 2-hour video of from the communication. Did you hear what I think I said? Practicum. And it's just, it's really profoundly powerful. If you're, especially if your brain cells are working in the direction of learning how to communicate or being clear in your communication. And, you know, so much of the basis of relationship is our communication. And so click that link and give it a listen. It'll be up there for another, I don't know, whatever number of days, 9 or 10 days, for anybody who wants to give it a listen.
It'll be deactivated on the 26th.
Okay, so it's set to deactivate 26th.
And
of
then
April.
It will be available for purchase in the MP4s.
Right. So it'll show up on the MP4 page. But anybody who's listening to the radio show, we want you to have access to it. A little extra bonus to share with you. And if you're ready to do the next level of your work, we're coming to the completion point of this 14-week, and it's actually going to end up being a 15-week with a couple of bonus sessions in there, codependence to interdependence intensive. We now are up to 80, I don't even know how many hours it will be, 84, 85, 86 hours of video work from this intensive. And it has all of the teaching on why is this happening to me again, healing through relationships, communication, did you hear what I think I said, and codependence to interdependence, as well as mind shifters and still point breathing. And so that whole package, that whole workshop package is available or will be available when we complete the intensive. We're going to create a package that is a total self-study, and we're going to make that available. It will also include the personal code evaluation and a 2-hour video explaining the personal code evaluation. So you'll have all of that available in the package, and the cost of that 14-week intensive, it'll actually turn out to be 15 weeks now because of this extra session we're doing. The cost of that whole package is $600, including the 2 personal code evaluations. And, you know, 2 personal code evaluations normally on their own are $100. So we're putting that together in a package. Those videos will be permanently yours and permanently available. So if you're interested and ready to take your work to another level and haven't been part of that intensive yet, then you might want to chime in. We'll watch. We'll announce when we've got the flyer ready and it's actually available for purchase. And then what we're planning to do is anyone who does that particular self-study intensive, who purchases that package, the next time we do a codependence to interdependence communication practicum, which will be via Zoom online, the next time we do that, you'll be able to just buy an upgrade and pay the difference between the $600 package and the participatory package, which will include an additional approximately 28 hours of video. So the 84 whatever hours will go up to 84 plus another 28 hours of video. So there'll be live support. So if you want to do the live Zoom intensive, you'd just be able to upgrade that package the next time we do it. So really delighted to have the technology available with Zoom to be able to do this online and to make these tools more and more available on a global scale. So you can jump in and at your own pace go through all 80 plus hours of video using the feedback from the personal code evaluation to really determine where your work is. If you're not familiar with our personal code evaluation, it is an evaluation that is based on the MMPI, and the MMPI is the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory. It's kind of the gold standard of psychological testing, and we've adapted it to this work. And so you can go in, you know, digitally, you go into, we'll give you a link, set up an account for you. You'll go in and you'll do the evaluation. 160 questions takes about 30 to 40 minutes to do. And what that does is it gives you feedback on where the weaknesses are in your own mind. and it bypasses the, you know, the fibs that we tell ourselves about ourselves, and you'll know exactly where your work is. So out of 10 different areas in your personal code, we'll show you where your three weakest areas are and give you specific assignments for how to correct those parts of your personal code. And then at the end of the intensive, you get to do another personal code evaluation, see how effective your work has been over the 14 weeks, and then what your next three challenges are as the antenna, or pardon me, the intensive completes and you move forward. Do you have a thought for us, Jean?
Actually, Magda is on, so 828, you're on the air.
Hi, both of you and everyone else.
Hey there, young lady. Welcome.
Thank you. I don't really know what I want to say. I have a lot of work to do over that, watching again, listening again, taking notes, and rewriting with the responsibility communication that we went through last Saturday. That was absolutely magnificent. And your ability to stay focused and so patient and reword 10,000 times what I was not apprehending the meaning of was fantastic. And what I'm wondering now, and I'll see this more clearly as I work with it, but I do wonder right at this very moment, do I always project like that? I mean, I thought I was pretty clear. I think when I do worksheets that I'm clear about who's creating the problem in my life is me. But man, I was just projecting it onto Chuck nonstop. And I couldn't understand it. So that shows me how deeply that mindset is within me.
Magda, that's our whole culture. That's literally our whole culture.
Right. And I've been a good student, huh?
Well, it's just what happens. It's just what the mind does. I mean, literally, you'll notice, I mean, I don't care, sit and watch 10,000 hours of television. Sit in front of your radio and go to every station on the dial and listen to 100,000 hours. I guarantee you will not find one person, unless they're coming out of this work, that is an upset that's going to say, well, you know, I noticed yesterday when you came home, I was in a lot of rage, and I really realized that I need to heal my rage. I guarantee you can listen to all of that. That's the whole language of the world. What's everybody going to say? You made me mad. You made me sad. You made me afraid. That's the language of the culture. Where do you find the refinement that 2-hour video, that work you did, you can't find it anywhere. And it took me decades to understand it and work with it. So I understand fully.
Well, I'm hoping that it won't take me decades to really understand it and use it in my life. Wow. That was an amazing process. I was able to watch about an hour, a little over an hour of it, and then for some reason I was accessing over my phone. And for some reason, it started to play double, and that's happened with me before. And I don't know what to do about it. So I'm going to get onto my email through my computer and see if I can listen to the whole thing. And my plan is to simply sit down with, you know, pencil, paper, and listen and take notes, stop it, take notes, stop it, take notes. And I'm going to write down a lot of what you said. When you rephrased in a way that would be responsible, because I want to learn how, I will learn how to do this. And then I'm going to rewrite it. And I'm going to do
it. The phone
is going to
cut us off in a second.
Okay. All right. Blessings, everyone. And thank you.
All right. And I look forward to being able to do another session around it with the next layer of questions for everybody. So that would be awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Magda, for your work and blessings.
Blessings to you all, too. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye. Everybody, have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world. Blessings. Bye-bye.